Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 6. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?"
My name is Millie, and I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, from verse 7 through to 19. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burnt outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and a desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon.
Well, good morning to you all. It's great to be able to look at Hebrews together this morning. I wonder if you can remember who it was that really helped you to get to know Jesus in the Bible. Perhaps it was a youth group leader, or a parent, or a Christian friend, or a preacher. One of the most significant times of Christian growth for me was as a young adult. I'd grown up in a Christian family and knew a fair bit of Bible, but then I moved to Cambridge and joined the church here. The sermons were longer than I'd had before, and more in depth. I had the chance to meet up with one of the leaders to look at the Bible and to go deeper into God's word. I was struck by the care he showed me, the encouragement he gave, as well as the challenge to take Jesus seriously in the whole of life. Sometimes that was a bit uncomfortable, but it was so good to learn how the Bible fitted together, how God's word impacted every part of life, how Jesus was such good news. I learned about God's grace, how he loves us no matter what we've done, because of Jesus. In fact, as I was taught, I was blown away by God's grace in Jesus. All because a leader was preaching God's word, praying for me, sharing his life with me. I expect many of us can point to leaders at St Matthew's who've had a big impact on us, or perhaps elsewhere, another church, a summer youth camp, a conference. Well, the passage we're looking at today has lots to say about leaders. So it's there at the start, verse 7. Remember your leaders. And then down towards the end, verse 17, have confidence in your leaders. Sandwiched in the middle, between the leaders, is Jesus. And that's where the real meat of the passage is today. We're going to start off digging into that. Then in the second half, we'll come back and take a look at the leaders. And the big message of this passage is, just like the big message of the whole book of Hebrews, stick with Jesus. Keep going with him, because he's all we need. Stick with Jesus. And there are four reasons why we should stick with Jesus in today's passage. It's basically the four paragraphs of verses 8 through to 16. The first reason to stick with Jesus is this. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. Perhaps you've learnt this as a memory verse, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. That's why we should stick with him. Did he get you through yesterday? Did he look after you over the last week? Has he provided for you over the last few months? Well, he's the same today. He will never leave us or forsake us, as we heard last Sunday. He doesn't change, past, present, or future. Think back to what he did in the past. We've been seeing it all the way through Hebrews. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. That's chapter 9, verse 28. He's done it. It's finished. He died on the cross to take away our sins. That's the past. Think about what he's doing today. Again, it's there earlier in Hebrews. He always lives to intercede for us. That's chapter 7, verse 25. He's praying for us. He's there for us in our time of need. And he's there forever. As it says right back at the beginning in chapter 1, he's sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And his years will never end. He's not going to be unseated at the next election. He's never going to die again. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. That's why we can stick with Jesus. He's not going to let us down or fail us. He's consistently committed to us, caring for us, there for us. We don't need to go looking anywhere else. All we need is in Jesus, and he doesn't change. So that's the first reason to stick with Jesus. And here's the second. He strengthens our hearts. He strengthens our hearts. Now, does your heart grow weary? Tired by the constant demands and challenges at the moment? Worn down by our own failures and those around us? Well, take heart. Stick with Jesus because he strengthens our hearts. It's in verse 9. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. Now, this paragraph probably needs a bit of explaining. Back in the Old Testament times, God's people had a tabernacle or temple. people would bring an animal to sacrifice on the altar so that they could be forgiven and made friends with God. And they'd have to do this again and again to keep on dealing with sin. The priests looked after it all, and they were allowed to eat some of the ceremonial food, perhaps some roast lamb or a juicy steak. It's all there in the book of Leviticus. And it was still going strong in Jesus' day, and it looks like it was still going when Hebrews was written. But here's the thing, we've got something better than all that. The true and better sacrifice. Jesus. His blood was shed once and for all to deal with our sin. The cross is like the altar, the place of sacrifice. That's where we find God's grace, his free and full forgiveness. We don't need ceremonial foods or sacrifices or temples or altars. We have the cross of Christ, a never-ending fountain of grace for all our needs. So stick with Jesus. He strengthens our hearts by his grace, by his death on the cross. Don't get carried away by strange teachings. I think this is particularly encouraging to hear when we've been unable to meet in person for so long and when we've not been able to take bread and wine together. Hopefully we'll get those things back at some point in the coming weeks and months, but we need to keep them in perspective. The Lord's Supper isn't a repeated sacrifice, providing us with special ceremonial food. No, it's a pointer to what Jesus did on the cross. And our hearts can be strengthened by Jesus, even if we can't take bread and wine together. It's the same cross saving us, whether we're eating bread or not. It's the same grace strengthening us, whether we're drinking wine or not. So stick with Jesus. He strengthens our hearts. Jesus wants to strengthen weary hearts today with his grace. He wants to pour his refreshing love into us, to energize us, to lift us up, to give us hope and faith for another day. Stick with Jesus. He strengthens our hearts. And then there's another reason to stick with Jesus here. It's that he's secured our eternal future. This year has shown us just how little security we have. We can't predict what's going to happen next month, let alone next year. But Jesus has secured our eternal future. Take a look at verse 11 with me. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Again, this probably needs a bit of explaining. It's coming out of the reading we had from Leviticus 16 earlier. Some of the animals were sacrificed, and then their remains were taken outside the camp. This place was unpleasant and unclean. If you went out there, you had to wash your clothes and have a bath before you were allowed back into the camp again. And that's what it was like for Jesus. He was taken outside the city, to the place of the skull, Golgotha. It was a place of suffering and shame, of disgrace and death. And he calls us to join him there, in that place of disgrace, to pin our hopes on his death, to be willing to be thought foolish, even disgraceful for his sake. To accept that people may well think worse of us because of our faith. When we stick to Jesus, we get treated a bit like he did. But it's worth it. He kept going through the shame of death to the glory of the resurrection. He's preparing a place for us, an eternal home, an enduring city, a place where we can live with him forever. But when you live in a city like Cambridge, you get used to seeing buildings that are hundreds of years old. We had some friends from Australia visit us. They couldn't get over the fact that many of the buildings in Cambridge had been around longer than any of their cities had even existed. It feels like Cambridge is an enduring city, but it isn't. The only city that will endure is the one that is to come, the one our Saviour will welcome us into when he returns. Hebrews calls it the heavenly Jerusalem. That's our true home. Jesus has secured our eternal future, and no one can take that away from us. That's why we stick with Jesus, because he's secured our eternal future. And then there's one final reason here to stick with Jesus. It's because he enables us to please God. He enables us to please God. Already God looks at us and smiles. He loves us because of Jesus. That's what makes us worship him, isn't it? Because he's been so good to us. And here's the kind of worship that God wants. Look at verse 15 with me. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We can please God. He'll look at us and smile even more. And how does it happen? Well, those first two words of verse 15 are so important. Through Jesus. He enables us to please God. We can't do it without him. But through Jesus, we can offer sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Not animal sacrifices now, but ourselves. Our lips openly declaring that we trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Doing good and sharing with others. It's easy to forget them at the moment with all the restrictions and challenges, but even now we can still do good to others. Even if it's just a quick message or a phone call to check in with someone, we can still find ways of sharing our time and our attention with others. God loves it when we make those kind of sacrifices. He looks down on his children and he smiles even more. He's pleased with us. And it's all through Jesus. We can't do this on our own. He enables us to please God. So that's four reasons that we've seen here to stick with Jesus. He doesn't change. He strengthens our hearts. He secured our eternal future. He enables us to please God. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to praise the Lord. And that's what we're going to do in the words of our next song. God so loved that he gave his son to lay down his life for the sake of us. He's the saviour of the world. We'll come back and think a bit more about the leaders afterwards, a bit more briefly. But let's sing now. Well, welcome back. I promised we'd have a look at the leaders in Hebrews 13 in the second half. We're going to see how they help us to stick with Jesus too. Our culture is pretty cynical about leaders. Politicians, for instance, so often we distrust what they're saying, what they're doing. They're seen as self-serving, just using their power to promote their own causes. Or at work, we're all sweetness and light when the boss checks up on us. When they're not around, it's a totally different story. What about Christian leadership? This isn't just for the staff or PCC. Lots of us at St Matthew's have leadership roles of various sorts, perhaps in a home group or a children's group or something up front. So what does Hebrews 13 say about leaders? Well, first, leaders point to the unchanging Jesus. Leaders point to the unchanging Jesus. That's down in verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, these leaders had spoken God's word. It's quite likely they were the apostles back when Hebrews was written. They stayed faithful to the end of their race. They finished well, trusting their Saviour, looking forward to their eternal home with Jesus. Their whole lives pointed to Jesus. Their faith was fixed on him. And he never changes. The same Jesus that loved them is here for us too. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So it's not the job of church leaders to proclaim their own advice or wisdom. Leaders should speak the word of God. And their lives right to the end should be shaped by that word, that faith. It's hugely unsettling when a church leader fails. I think with sadness about Christian leaders I once respected but who've fallen in one way or another. But we can look around at St Matthew's with thankfulness for our leaders, for their hard work, their teaching and example, their support and encouragement. They point us to the unchanging Jesus. They help us to stick with Jesus. And then secondly, leaders work for our eternal good. Leaders work for our eternal good. Listen to what it says in verse 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Leaders keep watch over our souls as those who must give an account. One day, God will ask them how they got on looking after his church. Did they teach the word faithfully? Did they care for those who were weak? Did they challenge those who were wayward? Did they encourage us to stick with Jesus? Leaders are working for our eternal good. They want us to be with them on the last day, standing firm in the faith, rejoicing together around God's throne. And that means sometimes they'll point us to bits of God's word that really challenge us. Perhaps we'll even feel upset. But the thing is, they're working for our eternal good. They don't want us weighed down by sin. They want to help us live to please God. And so they help us to stick to Jesus. We're really blessed with conscientious and hard-working leaders in our church family. Lots of people have pulled together in recent months to make church continue in really difficult times. Our leaders have put in long hours preparing for Sundays in all sorts of often unseen ways. We want that work to be a joy, not a burden. It's for our own good, really. A miserable, exhausted leader is going to find it really hard to point us joyfully to Jesus. On the other hand, a leader who knows they're appreciated and taken seriously will find they have almost extra energy to serve God's people. There's a feedback loop in church life between the church as a whole and the leaders. If the church is taking Jesus and his word seriously, with hearts delighting in the gospel, with lives being poured out in obedience to God, if all that's happening, then the leaders will find their work a joy. So it's pretty obvious what this means for us, isn't it? We should learn from leaders. Think back at the commands we've heard. Remember your leaders. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. Have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authorities. Well, first of all, we should do that to the apostles, those first leaders who spoke the word of God. Learn from their lives, from their teaching. It's there in the Bible for us. And then learn from the leaders God gives us today, so long as they're working in line with his word. Now, this isn't an excuse for dictatorial church leadership, oppressing a church family. No, it's all patterned on those first leaders, the apostles, and the word of God, the Bible. The real authority is there, in God's word. That's what we should submit to. That's what our leaders should give us. And when that's working well, we can learn so much from them, from their lives, from their teaching, even when we need to swallow our pride and hear something hard from the Bible, it's for our good. We should learn from our leaders. And then finally, pray for leaders. That's how this passage ends, verse 18. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honourably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Leaders need God's help and grace just as much as any of us. Perhaps even more so given the responsibility they carry and the accountability they face on the last day. So we should pray for our leaders as they serve us. Do you do that? And isn't that final prayer just so fitting for our own day? It sounds like the author of Hebrews was missing his friends, so he wrote to them. But what he really wanted was to see them in person. At a time like this, we feel the pain of separation from each other so deeply. A friend of mine has said he's been finding Sundays one of the hardest days of the week over the last few months because he's so missing his church family. Another spoke of how it brought a tear to his eye to be able to meet for church in person last Sunday for the first time in months. So let's pray for our leaders and pray that we might meet in person again soon. We need our leaders, and our leaders need us. They help us to stick with Jesus. Leaders point to the unchanging Jesus. Leaders work for our eternal good. So learn from them and pray for them. And let's take a moment now to respond quietly in our hearts to what God's been saying to us today.